With our U.S. observance of Thanksgiving only a few days away, when we think of our Thanksgiving holiday, other than perhaps what we're anticipating having on the table, what most springs to mind is likely the so-called Mayflower Pilgrims and images of that autumn feast in 1621 in Massachusetts with their Native American neighbors, or so our myth goes. Some of it is true, some of it not so much true. There were several years ago that there was a PBS documentary special called Desperate Crossing, The Untold Story of the Mayflower. It's a wonderful documentary, I commend it to you. And it's based upon the writings of William Bradford, who became the governor of that Plymouth, Massachusetts colony upon settlement. And his journals recount the harrowing journey of passage and the early founding of the Puritan colony. And not only was turkey not recorded on the menu of the first U.S. Thanksgiving dinner, those cozy tableaus of our imagination gloss over the difficulties and the hardships that preceded and followed that Thanksgiving. If you recall, after escaping years of religious persecution in Holland and in England, the pilgrims set off for this new world. More than half of them died during the first year, including those who had died during the passage. And the meal that they shared with the Native Americans was fraught with tension, perhaps more so than friendship, but tension as clashes of culture often experience. So the story of our so-called first Thanksgiving is more complex and nuanced than we like to remember when we sit down to Thanksgiving dinner. The passage that we heard today from the book of Deuteronomy in the Hebrew Bible is a Thanksgiving story also. That's why it's actually listed as the traditional reading for Thanksgiving Day in the liturgical cycle of readings. We read it a few days early, since I just can't wait. And it's a Thanksgiving story, and the reasons are obvious. It's a recounting of a religious dedication of the first fruits of the harvest. And that is a spiritual practice that is probably shared by every known ancient culture, a religious celebration of the first fruits of the harvest. This passage from Deuteronomy is what some scholars of the Hebrew Bible say. This passage is believed to be among the oldest material that is preserved in our biblical tradition. That means that before it was written down some three millennia or so ago, before that, these verses were already many, many centuries old. It was a worship recitation that was repeated and taught from generation to generation. And in it, this ancient, ancient recitation, we and the ancient children of Israel who recited it, they were able to recall and recount the history of who they were, where they came from, and what God had done for them. Now, some of us probably grew up in churches that weekly or even daily recited the Lord's Prayer or a creed like the Apostles' Creed. How many can remember the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ is... Okay, yes, yes, I can still, 40 years later, probably recite it. These verses were kind of the ancient creed of Israel, a kind of recited creed that declared the story of God's actions that shaped their nation's history and faith. So when they came to offer their gifts, they were instructed to recite in brief, not a list of theological assertions, but their story as a people. And it was a story that wove together the understanding that the gifts of the fruit of the land and the land itself, along with the story of what God had done in their lives, are all inextricably woven together and lead to giving thanks. So as we approach our own thanksgivings, I think that this ancient worship creed is still a helpful model because I notice there are four things that it does. There are four points, four questions that I think we can ask our own selves that will guide us to give thanks more deeply and more soulfully. It's what I notice when I read through that ancient passage. To give thanks, the first thing is you remember. It's important to notice that they remembered in their story, it wasn't our cheerful, cozy, ancient Norman Rockwell portrait, as likely yours isn't either. But first, remember, where did you come from? Where did you come from? We all come from somewhere. Where did you and your people come from? Maybe recently, maybe in the distant, distant past. Whether thousands of years ago, hunter-gatherers walking across a land bridge between continents, whether pilgrims or migrants willingly undertaking a dangerous journey, or forcibly expelled from their homelands or fleeing violence, or unwillingly taken to be sold as the property of others. Your story, your journey, began somewhere, with someone. The first thing the ancient Jews remembered and said was this: a wandering Aramean was my ancestor. That saying, my founding ancestor was homeless. Every time they said it, they remembered where they came from. And next, the ancient Jews recited, who went down into Egypt and lived as aliens and sojourners, saying, my people were migrants from a foreign land. They grew, yet were afflicted and forced into hard bondage. My people were enslaved. So in order to give thanks, we have to remember where we come from. And the second one, what did you go through? Not only where did you come from, but what did you go through? Occasionally, I enjoy listening to Prairie Home Companion by Garrison Keillor. Yes, I have grown up to be my mother. Yes. There are worse fates, trust me. There. And I remember several years ago, as only he can spin these wonderful stories about Scandinavian ancestry, he tells the story of Lutefisk, which I have never had. Has anyone in this room ever tasted Lutefisk? Oh my, more than I anticipated. Well, there you go. Well, it is, as I understand it from the stories that I have heard, the food that people love to hate at the Scandinavian table. And lutefisk, as I understand it, is actually fish that was preserved with lye, and then it is reconstituted into a gelatinous, gray, fishy, edible product. And he tells the story of the outrage that happened at the Lutheran church in Minnesota when someone substituted chicken for lutefisk, and it was the best lutefisk they'd ever had until it was discovered that it was made out of chicken and not the fish. But then he goes on to tell the story of why lutefisk shows up at every holiday table. It's because that was the food that sustained them in the journey across the ocean. Every taste of lutefisk was to remind them of the hardship that their ancestors underwent in the immigration. and it was what sustained them in their hopes for their journey and arrival in a new land. In order to truly give thanks, we recall not only where we're from, but what we have been through, and what we have been through is not always easy. But we could get stuck there, or remember that there's more to the story. We remember not only where we came from and what we went through, but where was God in it? We remember, where was God in it? The story of the ancient Jews, indeed, the core story that was the founding story of their tradition, was the exodus from slavery in Egypt. It was the power and the presence and the acts of God that brought them out and brought them through and brought them home. And that's the point of the story. It's because of the story that they would retell and recite when they brought their offering, that they could say, because I remember where I'm from, what I've been through, and how God was in it, I now make my joyful offering. Because of that story, retold and remembered over and again, they remembered to be thankful. And then there are instructions of what you do next. Because you remembered where you're from, what you've gone through, and how God was in it all, then you celebrate and share what you have with your kin and the aliens residing among you. Our thanksgiving is not fulfilled until we ask ourselves, with whom do we share it now? With whom do we share it now? Because the story doesn't end with us. The timing of our U.S. observance of Thanksgiving falls at a particularly important and ironic moment in the history of current world events, does it not? In the wake of the attacks and killings in Paris and the waves of Syrian refugees flooding Europe, and as French President Hollande, the president of the nation that experienced those attacks, has indicated they will welcome more Syrian refugees, strident voices in our own country are seeking to erect more barriers to parents and children and elderly who simply want to live without fear of violence. We have forgotten our own story. The story that our own pilgrim ancestors, who were discriminated against and bounced around from nation to nation in Europe, cast themselves into the sea with their children in the earnest hope that they might safely land and step upon the shores of a place where they might live freely. You may have seen it, but there is a cartoon meme that has been circulating. Traditional-looking pilgrim, traditional-looking Native American, the native saying, sorry, but we are not accepting refugees. How many of us wouldn't be here if that were the case?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. We have forgotten our own story when we are not ready to share it with others. We do well to remember our own Thanksgiving story this week, because that will allow us to write a story going forward that is better aligned with our values. You know, the story that we tell at this table is a Thanksgiving story, too. One of the words used to describe this meal is a Greek word, Eucharist. Eucharist. Not used in Protestant traditions, mostly. And that means Thanksgiving. Eucharist equals Thanksgiving. It's a Thanksgiving table. When we hear the story, it's an unexpected Thanksgiving story, isn't it? We remember, usually, the last words of a man who was facing certain death, and how his life was given away, how his body was broken, and we're invited to make that part of our story, too. And we give thanks, because as hard as it was, it turned out to be the promise that the timeless, enduring presence of God was with us then, is with us now, and will be with us forever, even through the hardest times. Thanksgiving stories remind us to give thanks, even in advance, even before we have seen the blessing, even when things don't yet seem abundant, even when relationships seem strained or absent, we can give thanks because we are people of faith, we remember the past, and we know that the struggle and difficulty is not the end of the story. It's remembering the power and the presence of God and sharing it with others. Where did you come from? What did you go through? Where was God in it? With whom are you sharing it now? Thanksgiving is not about a story that happened a long time ago or something that happens to other people. It is making it your own story. The story of your life, of our lives, and the story of our people, with all of its triumphs and sorrows, your story, with joy and pain. It's like food on the Thanksgiving table. We know them, we love and savor some of them, and others are more puzzling. But when they come together, the power and presence of God is in them. That is our Thanksgiving story. Please pray with me.